among many other things, the story of the birth of the Messiah is, in some sense, the fulfillment of that beautiful hymn in Philippians, where Paul says, Christ did not account equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself out as a servant and became subject, vulnerable to being human and to all of the hostility and inhospitality that being human involves, even unto death. Vulnerable. This is our Lord Jesus. And on this holy night, it's filled with all kinds of vulnerability. Even before the story that you just heard, Mary is told that she's going to have a baby. She's not married. And she's subject to all of the horrible things that someone who is caught in adultery might be subjected to in an honor and shame culture. It is conceivable that her parents would be compelled to actually kill her for this shame brought to the family. And so Mary does a very smart thing. She makes haste and goes to the countryside, where her Aunt Elizabeth is there waiting for her. And as we heard last week, Auntie Elizabeth raises her arms and receives Mary, consoles her, gives her admiration, and I think also guards her from all that might happen to her. Now, you would think that a church who had that kind of founding story would be really good at welcoming people who are vulnerable, who would be really good at welcoming single parents, single mothers with a baby with them. And I'm here to tell you, we have several opportunities to do this, and we've done pretty well, but I got to tell you another story. This one woman, Kathy, came to us, and she and her baby Skylar, her baby boy Skylar, were baptized in this place and well received, and thanks be to God. Then she had to go because she couldn't make a living here in Chelan. So she went to Renton. And I told her, the first thing you got to do when you get to Renton, well, first of all, get a house, an apartment, get a job, great. The next thing, get a church. Find a church, because you need it. And she said, oh, absolutely, I will. And she did. And 2 months later, I get a letter from her, and it says, I found a place, I'm doing well, I haven't found a church yet. So, she gave me her name and her address and her telephone number. I called the telephone number. And I said, tell me about this. You haven't found a church. I'm glad you're getting established. But what about the church? And she said, well, the first 3 churches I went to told me that my baptism wasn't enough. Because I'm living in the sin of being an unwed mother. And they want me to repent of that sin before they will take me in to join them in their church. And I can't repent because he's the best thing that ever happened to me. So I stopped looking. And the first thing in my mind, I said, these better not be Lutheran churches. And I asked her, and she said, no, they weren't Lutheran, but they're ones close to my house. I said, okay. I knew what my job was then. Got off the phone with her, looked up on the internet, churches in Renton, Lutheran churches in Renton, got on the phone, called. Woman answered. I said, can I please speak with the pastor? She said, the pastor's not available, but can I help you? And I said, I sure hope you can. And I explained the situation to her. And I told her that this woman had been received in this way. And she said, not in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, she wasn't. And I said, I've got the right place. And she said, so where does this woman live? Tell me your name, tell me your phone number. And I told her all of that, and I told her the address, and she said, we have people who drive right past there every Sunday coming to this church, and they would be glad to pick them up and bring them to church. And I said, thanks be to God, these people get it. They get it. That we are, in our DNA, bound to receive those vulnerable people, bound to receive a unwed mother with her baby, and any number of other vulnerable people in this world. That's like right there in our sounding story. So they got it. And then I realized, well, of course they got it. It's Nativity Lutheran Church. So, yeah, we are the followers of someone who was born into vulnerability. And now the story that we just told, more vulnerability. Now Mary and her unborn child are still vulnerable to the whims of empire. The emperor says, well, I got to get things together so that I can tax people. So he sends everybody off, and it's a chaos. Everybody has to cross. Mary and Joseph have to go down from Nazareth, and they have to walk 90 miles. Or if you prefer, one of them riding a donkey, but I don't think that's any more comfortable if somebody's pregnant. Riding a donkey is not probably any better than walking. But they have to walk past the Jordan River flatlands. They have to go up over the Jerusalem hills, and then they got to descend down into Bethlehem. 90 miles. A long trip. Filled with potential danger. Everybody's moving. Everybody's wandering, going back to the place of their home place. And then they get there, and there's no room for them in the guest room. It's not an inn. There's no Holiday Inn. There's no Ramadas in Bethlehem during this time. It really is the guest room. The family guest room was filled, probably because other people had to come home, and they were just late getting there. There was no room for them. So they find the one place they could find, which is sort of on the margins of their family home. It's the stable. So outside on the margins. And it is on the margins that Jesus Christ is born. And isn't it always on the margins that Jesus Christ is born? And we sing Silent Night, Holy Night. We insist that even this birth on the margins, in a barn, in a stable, with animals, there is something going on in that birth. And we honor it as this silent, holy night. And all is calm. All is bright. Even though all is not calm and all is not bright. Everybody's in chaos, moving from place to place. And yet, because of that birth, we insist. And we sing something like, sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly peace. The birth of that child in that marginal edge of everything is the birth also of peace, of God's peace, a peace that will bring all of us finally together. From these marginalized places, the heavenly peace comes. Many years ago, I took a group of kids. My kids, the kids from the Church of Abiding Savior in Durham, North Carolina, we used to go caroling. And then one year, one of the kids said, well, can we carol in our home? And I said, okay. And so we gathered up the kids. We walked over to Hearthside, which is a community, which is a poor, violent, drug-infested community in Durham, and we caroled there, and we made a tradition of doing that every year after this. And what we would do is we would go, there's in Hearthside, there are these, I call them quadruplexes, but there's two apartments down below and two apartments up above in every building, and we would send all the kids to knock on the door and gather everybody up to come out their door, and then we would, and they'd scramble back, and we'd sit there, and we would sing. And it took us 5 or 10 minutes to gather everybody up, and we only knew 3 hymns, and we only knew 1 verse of each hymn. So 5 minutes to gather everybody up, and about 45 seconds to sing all the songs. But it was Joy to the World, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and Silent Night. And so we did this from building to building to building. And then one year, we did the same thing. We go through, we're caroling through Hearthside. And to be honest with you, it would have been irresponsible for me to have even brought kids to Hearthside, except as I just told you, most of the kids from our church lived in Hearthside. So anyway, they're there. And then one year we're here and we were walking across the street from Hearthside and there was one house that we had to stop at. So we sent somebody up to knock on the door. Woman comes to the door and the rest of us are standing in her driveway. And when she gets out the door, we start singing. Joy to the world. Hark the herald angels sing. And she's sitting there in her, she's in her bathrobe, you know. And but when we start singing Silent Night, she stepped out of her, opened the screen door, stepped out, bundled herself up in her robe, and stood like this. Silent night, holy night. All is calm, all is bright. Round John Virgin, mother and child. Holy infant, so tender and mild. Sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly peace. And as that song washed over her, tears came across her face. And she was crying tears of sorrow and tears of grief and tears of healing. What the people from the church didn't know, but what I knew and what the kids who lived in Hearthside knew, Lord have mercy, is that this woman's son had been shot and killed in that driveway earlier in the year, having gotten into a fight with older and more serious young men. And he was running to be safe, and he didn't make it. So there we were in her driveway, the place of the most hostile, incomprehensible sorrow, and we're singing Silent Night. And she is totally taken in to the song and to the story and to the truth. And afterwards, I went up to her and hugged her. And she said, I'm imagining my son as a baby. And I am imagining my son as he was when he died. And I am imagining him being held in the arms of Jesus and experiencing heavenly peace. And with that image, I think I can rest in that peace too. And so we gather again this Christmas. Thanks be to God, we can gather together. And we sing, and we pray, and we worship. And maybe we come as people who have experienced the hostility of the world, who have not been welcomed into the world, into many places. And we pray to the Prince of Peace. And the Prince of Peace gives us consolation and healing. Or maybe we come as people also who have given people hostile, our anger and our hostility, and have not been as welcoming as we could have been. And we ask God to forgive us. And we insist that forgiveness was born this day. And we gather as people like the angels and the shepherds and the good people at Nativity Lutheran Church, and those little young angels and shepherds who sang in a lonely, dark driveway, bear witness that peace is born this day, that life reigns, that our life even though it is difficult, even though there is hard things going on in the world, things we could never have imagined a couple of years ago. On this night, we insist. We insist on returning, and I'm going to borrow from another hymn that we're going to sing in just a minute, that we are going to return the song the angels sing. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill to all. This is God's gift, born in a stable, born on the margins, born in the stable of our heart, born in the margins of our life. But no doubt, born into the world. Christ the Savior is born. Amen.
Amen.